Yeah, so somebody didn't like go up on our porch and steal our HelloFresh, but somebody looked down, saw the address, knew that it wasn't their address, but still kept it anyway.
I think that's, so when were you supposed to get it, today or yesterday?
Tuesday.
Okay, Tuesday. So it says delivered and you've gotten HelloFresh orders before.
Yes.
This one.
Every week we get a HelloFresh order. And
you think it's the people across the street?
It's someone. And I'm going to fucking find out whenever they put a HelloFresh box out in the recycling. And then I'm going to rain holy hellfire down. No, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to know that they took it.
You're going to like sneak around through people's recycling? Well, if they're stealing, they're probably not recycling either.
Oh, that's true. But yeah, so I don't know what happened, but we got credited. We only paid like $50 for it.
Okay.
Because, you know.
Yeah, I know you guys are like good with the coupons and
multiple accounts.
Discount codes and all that.
And we got credited $115.
Oh. Okay.
We made $70. They can take them all they want then. Because HelloFresh is really good with like refunding. Like we got garlic one time that was real shitty and Mike complained and we got back like $15.
You know, garlic, a clove of garlic is like 80 cents, mm-hmm. right? Like not even.
We know that.
I'm sure HelloFresh knows that too.
But they're just like, shut up. Just take the money.
Just take the money. Morbid story. Speaking of HelloFresh.
Is that... Yeah.
Have we talked about that on podcast before? I thought that I wrongfully got my neighbor's HelloFresh order over the winter. And I brought the box... I left it for a second on the porch. And then I thought, oh, if there's veggies... It was late at night. So I said, oh, well, if there's veggies, I should probably, like, bring them inside so they don't freeze. And then...
His bed up on the table.
Oh, okay.
He's weird.
So I thought, well, I'll just bring everything in the house and then I'll take it to them tomorrow.
It's the worst.
Well, I bring the box and I kicked the snow off the box. I brought it into the house and our cat had been hit by a car and they had put it in a HelloFresh box.
At least they put a note with it, though.
And there was a note and the neighbor guy was like, it wasn't him. He was just outside snow blowing when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, well, I didn't even, it didn't dawn on me
Trauma.
That the box wasn't, like, taped up or anything.
Yeah.
Until I brought it in. And then I'm, like, obviously devastated.
You're
but
like, fuck.
Now it's, like, a little funny.
Yeah.
It's morbidly funny.
You were always really good about, like, chuckling at maybe not good times.
Yeah. So I thought it was HelloFresh, and it was definitely not.
This is also a morbid story. So last weekend, I wake up at like 7:30 and I'm walking Cooper down the street. Blah,
Wait,
blah, blah.
You're awake at 7:30 on the weekend.
Yeah. I wake up early. I like to enjoy my day.
Mm-hmm. I do too, I guess. But,
you
my
do the
day
opposite.
Goes into the evening.
Yes.
Okay.
So walking Cooper, la da da. And then down the street, our neighbor's cat was hit.
Oh, no.
And, like, I saw it, and I kind of recognized it, but I was just like, oh, no. Like, that's terrible. Whose ever cat that is. Then I'm, like, getting Cooper up to the door and inside and stuff, and I look outside, and our neighbor across the street, not the Orange Jeep people, but the other neighbors,
okay.
had a box, and the guy was just, like, sobbing on the porch.
Oh, no.
I told Mike, I was like, I want to go over there and, like, hug him or buy him a plant or
How
something.
How long ago was this?
Last weekend.
Yeah, you can still, like, make him some food or something.
Yeah. And he was like, no, because then he'll think you did it. And I'm like, I can tell him I didn't do it. Like,
well, you can say you were walking the dog and, like, saw the cat. And you can always say, too, like, you're putting Cooper in to, like, go tell him or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I didn't know 100% that that was their cat until I saw him crying.
I would still be like,
here's a planter.
Well, like, make him cookies or something.
Yeah.
Because the neighbor across the street was the one that, like, got the box because it had their address on
yeah.
it. So I'm, like, thinking I just got their order by mistake. So then I immediately, like, well, it was, like, the next day. I made brownies and I'm like, can you take them across the street to the neighbor? What?
Yeah. You had Greg do it?
Because I don't do...
Emotions.
I don't do emotions or strangers. Both of those things
stranger danger.
Off limits. And Greg said...
And she probably felt horrible.
It was a guy. The guy was snow blowing.
Oh.
And like saw it go down. Okay. And then helped the person that had hit him.
I gotcha.
And
that's what happened.
I guess he was like super... Our across the street neighbor was really emotional about it. And Greg like didn't know what to do.
Well, because... your cat like ruled the neighborhood. Like I'm sure he was like up on the porch and like hanging out and stuff.
For sure.
Yeah.
Unlike the new cat that's ruling the neighborhood, I think I know what house it belongs to.
Is it a dick?
He's an intact male and he came over. See, when Benny was outside, Benny, like, kept our yard clear of, like, random cats. Like, no cats like, came in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, he'd fight with cats that would come into our yard. So then, now with him gone, this fucking cat shows up. And what does it do? Pisses all over our basement window screen. So I walk into the basement, and it was, like, an ungodly cat piss stench.
That's, like, a triggering smell for me because of Deanna's house.
Yeah.
I do not.
So it smelled so bad. And I thought, like, this is not one of our cats. Our cats do not make that smell. So I'm, like, looking all over. And I'm, like, looking at the carpet and, like, thinking, like, there's an accident somewhere or, like, something crazy happened. Well, then Frank, our, you know, other cat, he comes downstairs and he... is standing on the bar and he rips the curtain out of the window like trying to get in the window. Oh, exactly. Frank was ready to like throw down with this cat that was supposedly out there but wasn't. And then I looked and I could see like cat pee all over the window.
Yeah. Because it leaves like a sticky. Fuck?
It's sticky and gross.
Yeah.
But so then we had to like take the whole screen out, take the window. I got like the cat neutralizer shit to like
that
spray
stuff
all over
works
it.
Awesome.
It does, but, like, it smelled that night. I'm like, what do we even do? Like, we can't sit down here and watch TV.
What, like, what do we do with ourselves?
What do we do with our lives? Let's go to the bar. Like,
okay.
Oh, it was so bad. So now that cat, if he does it again, we're, like, trapping him or something and, like, taking him to the shelter. Because then...
Dad would just shoot them.
Well... I know, but that was, like, the country. You don't know whose cat it even was, if it was anyone's cat. This is a neighborhood.
Not like, that I'm for that.
Yeah, it's got to belong to somebody. Mm-hmm. So our thing is we would trap him and then take him to the shelter, and whoever wants him back, I mean, he has to get neutered before he leaves the shelter.
Yeah, he does.
So.
Oh, shit.
Neuter your cat so it doesn't piss on my window. So mad.
Moral of the story, folks.
Yeah.
Spay and neuter your animals.
Are you like Bob Barker now?
I am. We should probably
talk about something
other than cats
because,
being run over.
I have chicken in the crock pot for tacos, so.
Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review. Wow.
How fast did you drink that coffee?
A lot. I need to slow down.
How fast did you drink it? A lot. All right.
We're going to Vermont in What Lies Beneath, which came out in 2000. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes. You can get it on Prime and Apple TV for $3.99. It's directed by Robert Zemeckis. He did Forrest Gump and Death Becomes Her.
Oh, Death Becomes Her, too?
Yes.
Didn't he do
He did a ton
Back to
of
the
stuff.
Future?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, a lot of things. It was written by Clark Gregg, who did the screenplay, and Sarah Kernachren, I butchered that last name, who did the story. It stars Harrison Ford as a Norman. He was in a few things.
I've never heard of him. Who is that?
Harrison Ford, Star Wars, Blade Runner. Air Force One.
You really
so many
have
things.
To say who Harrison Ford is.
Well, I don't know. We
and then
do
there's
it,
that
do
no
it.
Name Michelle something.
Well,
in
we
it
do
too.
It for everybody, so I feel like we have to continue this thing. Michelle Pfeiffer as Claire, Norman's wife. Batman Returns, and my favorite, A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh.
It's so good.
It is good.
It's so good. James Remar as Warren, their neighbor. He was in Dexter and Sex and the City. Miranda Otto as Mary, their neighbor's wife. She was in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and Lord of the Rings.
I was going to say, if you don't say Lord of the Rings, I'm going to jump across this table and smack you.
Claire's friend Jody is played by Diana Scarwood. She was in Prison Break and Psycho 3.
Wait, Jody the friend?
Mm-hmm.
Was in Prison Break?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the lovely Madison, Norman's
special friend.
Special friend, student friend, is played by Amber Valletta. She was in Dead Silence and Transporter 2. This was her first role in, like, the big pictures.
Well, I don't think she even has, like, she doesn't speak.
She's not in it a lot, but she plays a pivotal character.
Her face is used a lot, I guess, yeah. In it.
Yep.
What?
That's it. I mean, there's, like, the psychiatrist and, like, a couple of Norman's friends, but...
Okay. The composer was Alan Silvestri. And he did a shit ton of Marvel. I didn't even write it down.
Everything.
He composed a lot of Marvel. He won a lot of awards. This one, I think like 7 different, but none of the ones that we normally talk about. Like we normally talk about like Fangoria and stuff. It didn't win any of those. Just some odds and ends.
Yeah.
Wow. I watched half of it last night and then half of it today because... we just got tired. I'm like, I can't. And it is. Like, it's a slow burn.
It's a slow moving.
So the first hour of it is just like, here's a clue. Here's a clue. What's happening?
Here are little things.
What's going on? Mm-hmm. And then the second hour is like when all the action
happens.
It's like,
holy fuck.
Yeah. So we watched the first half of it last night and we were both super tired and I just couldn't.
I get it.
Couldn't. And then... and yesterday was my last day at Fairfield, so I did maybe drink it up a little bit last night.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, and then I watched the second half of it today, and I'm glad I did because I liked seeing all the action and not trying to stay awake through it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is Norman and Claire. He's a professor. She was, she did like playing the symphony.
She played the cello.
Played the cello and the symphony. They got together. She was a single mom at the time.
Yep.
And she marries him and they fall in love. And then this movie happens.
He's like a professor.
He's a professor.
At... I would think like a nice, well, no, because his dad died and left him that house.
His dad died and left him the house, but he is still also like a professor.
Like a famous professor.
Yeah. And he's doing like research on some weird things.
Some weird things that come into play later.
Yeah. In the intro, Claire has a dream of drowning in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little strange.
This house is beautiful.
The house is beautiful and fake.
And fake.
Yeah. So they built the house in Addison, Vermont on Lake Champlain.
Yep.
But it was just for the film. So they built it and tore it down.
Yeah. The outside scenes for both their house and their neighbor's house, which is like kind of close-ish. Yeah. Were all built for the movie, and then the interior scenes were shot, I can't remember where they were shot, but they were shot someplace else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The exteriors of the houses are beautiful though.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Bathroom, this is my dream bathroom. I love the clawfoot bathtub, and I love the window behind it, and it's just, like, cute. Like,
here's my thing, though, because Greg has also admired the clawfoot tub. If we ever, not in our house now, we'd have to live somewhere else, because our bathroom is tiny.
Yeah.
When you have a clawfoot tub, and you have a wraparound shower curtain on the inside of it, you have absolutely fucking zero room to take a shower.
Yes.
The shower curtain is sticking to you every second. I'm saying that from when I live that way and I weighed 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Now, almost double that size, I can't imagine
like
maneuvering between the shower curtains.
I think you would have to have a clawfoot bathtub with a shower. Like, that would be, like, your soaker tub.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of people do that now.
Yeah.
That's, like, well, not even now, but to have, like, you have a shower stall, and then you have your soaker tub.
Oh, I would love a soaker tub.
That would be perfect. Mm-hmm. But to have the tub-shower combo on a clawfoot tub is not ideal.
But I can imagine that house, like, has other bathrooms. And not just the one.
Well, maybe. One at the top of the stairs, and then maybe like a half bath on the first floor.
Yeah.
Because a lot of older houses only have
Had on Main Street when I lived with Gabe. We had a half bath downstairs that was just like the toilet and, well, a half bath. And then we had like the full upstairs.
And was that off the kitchen?
Yeah, it was right off the kitchen. And so the door went down to the basement, like on the other side.
I have some friends that live in Marquette, and they're in an older house too. And they have the half bath downstairs, and it was the pantry.
Oh,
they like turned the pantry into a half.
I gotcha.
So you could still have a downstairs bathroom.
Yeah.
Because where else are you going to put them in like an older house?
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Moving along.
They seem pretty normal. Their daughter, Caitlin, is still at home getting ready to go to college. They hear the neighbors fighting. Norm is, like, pretty into Claire. He, like, takes the dog for a run.
Yeah.
They seem, like, normal.
Mm-hmm.
They start out normal. The neighbors, they're off and on. I'm not even going to get into the neighbors because they don't really play into the story at all.
What? I mean, kind of. They kind of do. Mary does.
Oh, yeah. Mary at one point is getting screamed at, and then the next... See, I watched that part last night.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mary is getting screamed at a ton, and then the next day, like, she's just gone.
She's gone. While they're getting screamed at, then you hear them, like, banging like crazy that night. Like, okay.
Just a very passionate relationship.
They have very high highs and very low lows. Yeah, so they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then she's not there.
Yeah, her car is still there. It's just weird. Weird little things.
So, you also find out around this point, Claire's looking through photo albums, that she played at Carnegie, that
she's
a relatively out there musician.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get the idea that she, like, gave it up to have, like, kids and family. And
I don't even know if it was gave it up to have kids, because she was still playing when she met Norm.
Well,
like, with her young daughter.
Okay, so she had
Like the married life.
But the married life.
Okay, I got
Like, you. She gives it up, and then they move to Vermont, and she has this, like, country life. Well, not country life, but, you know, lakeside life.
White picket fence bullshit.
So she kind of gives up her fame.
For Norm's fame. Mm-hmm.
Claire is worried about the neighbor. She goes over there snoopily with a gift basket.
Oh, my gosh.
No answer.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah. Well, then she talks to her friend about it, Jody.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of, you know, have their theories. Well, then Claire wakes up and sees the neighbor dude packing his trunk in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Which is weird. It's weird.
A little weird. And wasn't it raining?
It was raining and stormy and stuff.
Yeah. Well, she tells Norman, and he's just kind of like, whatever.
He's like, yeah, they fight. Like, everybody fights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she is, at this point, too, this, I guess the neighbor's kind of like a red herring in the
Absolutely.
Story.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
So then the next day, she's peeking over the fence. She slips, cuts her arm. When she's walking back into the house, the front door opens on its own.
Yeah, it starts to get kind of creepy.
So you're like, okay, like, is she being haunted? Then a little bit later, the Vermont Society frame tips over.
I thought it was DuPont.
DuPont Society. Yeah.
Well, Norman won an award a year before.
Yes.
Norman won this, like, very prestigious
almost
award.
Almost exactly a year before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was also the same night that Claire got into a really bad car accident.
It was a week later.
Was it a week later?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because what's her name shows up right there and then. Okay.
So the DuPont frame falls off and breaks, and it was a picture of, like, two professors, Norman and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Claire.
Well, then later on, she's playing with her dog, Cooper. But a big Cooper.
That dog.
I think he's a Burmese Mountain Dog.
Yeah, it looks like Chris Evans' dog. If you follow Chris Evans on social media, he has a big puppy dog that looks like that.
That's what kind of dog I would guess it was, but I didn't like look into it. Cooper won't jump off the dock to fetch his ball,
which is like the number one, like. Yeah. Animals freaking out.
If Ruby didn't want a tennis ball, I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I would immediately think something. Like, if Ruby didn't jump into the water as soon as we got to the beach, I'd be like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she is looking into the water and kind of, there's kind of a face
in
the
water. Yeah, she kind of sees something down there.
That night, Cooper no-shows. She's outside calling him. Can't find him. But he, like, magically turns up. I don't know.
I don't understand that. That's a plot hole for me.
Same thing. The door opens on its own. So she's kind of spooked and goes into the lab. At the lab, they're researching some new, like, paralytic drug that immobilizes animals for 5 minutes.
It's called halothane, I think. Yeah, halothane, which is traceable in the human body. I Googled it, which if anybody Googled my shit, whew, be a lot of weird things.
Oh, my phone, Google just picked up and it just started searching a lot of weird things because you said
good.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, I guess. Weird phone.
Yeah.
So that, like, foreshadows.
That was a big foreshadow.
Yeah. Greg pointed out, though, that paralytics also, like, paralyze your respiratory system. Like, how is your body paralyzed and you keep breathing?
Yeah.
Like, you can't move, but you can still breathe.
We talked about that when
your heart still beats.
When we were talking about The Witcher, when she paralyzes the court with Belladonna.
Oh, and they all,
and
just,
they all,
like,
just, like,
freeze in place. It is, like, The Witcher, though, and she is, like,
how that works.
A witch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
Yes.
So,
but,
like,
yeah.
It's more mystical, but Belladonna doesn't do that to you.
No.
So, yeah, big foreshadowing that they're immobilizing rats. Once again, door opens on its own.
This is where I wrote down, I think Claire needs a hobby that isn't snooping on her neighbors. Because she's, like, she's rear windowing this.
Well, yeah.
Full blown. She's,
I,
like,
mean, she does need a hobby. I don't give a shit what my neighbors do as long as they stay out of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Like, the neighbors moved out today. The close neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
But their house has been, like, contingent. So I have a feeling they were waiting to move into a house before whoever moved into that house.
Yeah.
But they were, like, loading up the moving vans, and
you're,
like,
I don't fucking
care. I did,
care.
Like, a head nod and walked into my house. Like,
it's not like the 1950s when everybody, like.
I'm telling you, though, my next neighbors, as soon as they fucking move in, I'm taking them, like, a gift card to Domino's, or, like, I'm doing something nice, because when those neighbors moved in, I thought, oh, I should make them cookies or do something. And then, like, a month went by, and I thought, well, fuck it. It's been, like.
Yeah.
And they moved in the winter, and I think it was during COVID.
So you're, so, like, I'm going to stay away from all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not leaving my house for anyone. The new neighbors, though, as soon as I see them move in, I'm going to bring them like a six pack of something and then pizza.
That's nice.
To be like, hey, you're moving in.
To finally have like friends. Your street is weird.
My street is weird.
Your street's so weird.
Like, we're like sort of friends with the neighbors across the street, and the fact that I like head nod them when I see them.
Yeah.
Or like wave at them.
Yep.
And then two houses down, that guy, he likes to talk. So if I want to know anything that's going on in the neighborhood, I just like head over to his house.
Hell yeah. You have to have those neighbors.
I don't even head over to his house. I send Greg to go and talk and be like, find out what's happening. Have a beer with him. Find out what's
going
on.
Go hang out. Like, what's going on? What's the scuttlebutt?
Well, even like when there was no one living in the house in between, Frank... like likes his kids a lot. So Frank would be in like the middle in the yard in between.
Yeah.
And then they'd come over to play on the swing and then they'd be petting him. And then I'd go outside and then that neighbor would come over. Like when I gave him like Rice Krispie treats one day, like be nice. Like, here, these are for your kids. Look at me being social.
They're poisoned with halothane.
Oh my God. Oh, that
would be terrible.
All these kids dropping off the tire swing.
Fuck.
What?
Hilarious. Was it Bly Manor or
what?
Haunting of Hill House when she poisons the kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Let's
turn dark.
We're talking about What Lies Beneath. I don't think we can get a whole lot darker.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she goes over. She's snooping around the neighbor's house. She doesn't go over. She's looking through binoculars.
Yeah.
And sees that the house is like a fucking hot mess.
It's a hot mess, and Warren is just, like, eating, like, a dinner for one.
Or wait, no. The frame broke. She tries going to the neighbors and sees the house chaotic, and that's when she has, like, the gift basket.
Yeah.
That was her, like, I'm going to try to be friends.
You know what's real funny? I watched this movie today.
Husband comes out. There's no wife. That night... Then she goes home and spies with binoculars.
Yeah. Okay.
The husband picks up her gift basket, throws the flowers away, which I thought was really fucking rude, takes the wine, and then he sees her looking at him.
Yeah.
With binoculars. Mm-hmm. So then Cooper, who's outside in the yard, is barking at the house. There's muddy footprints, like going up to her house. And then Norm shows up.
Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go out to like a dinner. That's why he came home. They're going out to a dinner with some work people.
They go out to dinner with another professor. And this professor like has this young girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Claire knows her.
Yes.
Like they were friends previously or whatever. So Norman and the other professor are talking about another professor that got fired for sleeping with a student.
Oh, I didn't even catch that because I was too busy listening to her.
Yeah.
Because Claire says that she quit playing because she met Norman. Yeah. And at this time, Norman isn't teaching. He's running a research project.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's, they kind of talk about like the haunting. Maybe their house is haunted. When she's at home, that's when she finds the key for the first time that night.
Yes.
She looks down into the vent, sees something shiny, fishes it out, and it's this like kind of ornate looking key that would go to like a jewelry box.
You can buy that key online.
Really?
So I did some snooping.
Can you buy the box too?
Yep. So there's an Etsy shop. If you are curious, we'll get like further into the film, obviously. But Madison wears a very distinctive necklace.
It's like a rose or like a flower.
Yeah. That she bought. It's alluded that she bought it when she was with Norman and Adamant, which is a town like south of the town.
I thought it was Adamant.
Adamant? Well, whatever. Yeah. An artsy town by the water. And it's a necklace. And then there's a box that, like, with the same symbols and stuff on it that the key goes to. This woman who makes this stuff, her Etsy shop is Shimmery Moon. You can buy the necklace. You can buy the key in necklace form.
Ooh.
You can also buy a shit ton of labyrinth jewelry.
Okay, I'm going to have to look her up when I get home.
But yeah, she's the only place I could find that actually makes the necklace. And you can purchase it for $112.
It's a pretty necklace.
It's a very pretty necklace. But yeah.
She finds the key. And then there's... Oh, that night, the photo falls again. This is before that.
Mm-hmm.
When she's fixing the frame, she steps on a piece of glass, bends down, sees something in the vent. It's the key. Then she sees fog coming out of the bathroom, or like steam, but it's more like fog.
Yeah.
And the tub's full of water. When she leans over, she sees a face in the water and screams, and Norman comes in.
What I think is strange is that the neighbor, her, and Madison all kind of have very similar features.
Yes.
So it makes it very tricky.
Her and Madison are identical.
Yes.
Identical.
Yeah.
Claire then decides, I need to go to a therapist. Fair mm-hmm. enough.
She, at this point, too, believes that Warren killed his wife, Mary.
Mary, yes.
And that Mary is the person that she's...
Mary's haunting her.
Yeah.
She sees a ghost that looks like her with green eyes. She wants to... Well, the therapist kind of says, we'll try to communicate with it.
Why the fuck?
I don't know.
No.
So she gets a Ouija board and has a party in her bathroom with the friend.
Jody's
great. A cool friend.
Yeah. She got divorced, bought a sweet new ride with alimony.
Yeah.
Living her best life.
She looks like she's having a good time. Well, they try to contact Mary Fuhrer, who's the neighbor. No response. Candle goes out. The door opens. It's Cooper.
I know.
So it's kind of like, okay, well, maybe it's not Mary. That's when you first hear that Claire was in a car accident a year before.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing 80, crashed your car.
Yep.
Friend leaves. At that point, Claire picks up some like more seance things. Once again, fog from the bathroom and a full tub. This is the first, like, real creepy shit. She says, what do you want? And on the foggy mirror, it says, you know.
Yeah.
And then the computer screen in the next room, M-E-F, M-E-F, is just repeated over and over again, like initials.
Conveniently, Mary whatever Fuhrer.
Yes.
So she still thinks it's Mary, who's dead.
Norm, at this point, you start to see his true colors.
Because he's, like, hitting a breakthrough, like, in his research and everything. And he thinks that Claire is just, like, sabotaging him.
Because Claire wants, like, 1 second of attention. And is going through, like, some emotional shit.
Because, yeah, her daughter just went to college.
Her daughter went to college. It's been a year since this bad accident. Mm-hmm. Now she's, like, seeing ghosts and thinks that the house is haunted. And he blows it off as, like, attention-seeking.
It's not attention-seeking. It's attention-needing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is what we always... Yeah.
Well...
when people act out.
They're out in public. Claire confronts the neighbor about the murder.
Would you have done that?
With his wife. No, I would not.
Absolutely not.
I would have watched and waited for his wife to show up.
Yeah, just to, like, see what's happening. Because... Warren's a professor, too, or, like, works mm-hmm. at the university, so it's wild.
So then in therapy...
Well, his wife shows up.
Yeah, his wife shows up, so Mary's alive.
Yeah.
So that's, like, okay.
Yeah.
What?
It's just terrible.
His wife shows up, and it's super embarrassing.
Yes.
Because she goes after him about being a murderer.
Yeah.
And then his wife is right there.
Yikes.
So she kind of has a breakdown. Once again, in therapy... they talk about her being obsessed and mm-hmm. that maybe she has empty nest syndrome. When she gets home, she walks to the door. It doesn't open on its own like it has been. There was a gift from Jody. Neighbor stops by, explains the whole situation about like trying to leave her husband. And like, that's why he was packing her stuff in the middle of the night. And it was all
she
just
went
like
to
a big,
say, like with her mom.
Yeah, it was a big misunderstanding. They're at a party and the neighbors make a murder joke.
Yeah, they like the couple is standing by the stairs and Claire looks over and the husband like pretends to strangle Mary, and Mary like slaps him like jokingly.
So like, she's kind of like in this situation where she feels crazy.
Yeah.
Like she blew it out of proportion. She feels dumb. Mm-hmm. Like it sucks for her. Once again, DuPont party. The frame breaks again. At this point, she picks up the frame, sees that there's a newspaper clipping about the event on the back of the photo, which people do.
And at the party that night, too, there's a woman that comes up to her and they're talking and stuff about the accident that happened.
Oh, yeah.
And the woman is just like, yeah, like you left kind of suddenly and you look like you had seen a ghost and you just looked very frightened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I would, too. Motherfucker. It's not her fault. She was taken advantage of by Professor.
What?
Because she showed up like
we'll get there.
Ahead of myself.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, so okay.
The picture frame breaks again.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a newspaper clipping. On the back of it is like about the photo, and about mm-hmm. the DuPont party. Well, then on the side of the newspaper clipping, there's a missing girl, Madison Elizabeth Frank.
Yes.
Claire, she stays up all night. She confronts Norman. He gets mad and immediately shuts it down.
Yeah.
Well, she starts researching, finds out that the daughter had a Mustang convertible that she like drove all over. Mm-hmm. She was a partier, but somehow managed to get straight A's, get into like good schools. All
yeah,
that.
The cops just chalked it up to her to being a runaway,
which they do.
Yeah,
like okay, we're done looking for this person. They obviously ran away.
Yeah,
and I mean she was like of age though, so what are you gonna do? It's not like she was 15 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So Claire, this is once again, like, I don't know if I would get into somebody's business like this.
Not at all.
She goes and meets with Madison's mom. Well, she gets to look at her room. She says they're friends, like, through parties, whatever. She gets to look at her room. Conveniently, her mom gets a phone call. So Claire's alone in the room. She sees the necklace in a photo, mm-hmm. like her like flower necklace, and then there's a hair clipping. So what does she do? She steals the fucking hair and decides to try to conjure this spirit. If she can be conjured, she doesn't know if she's done
as you do, right?
Yeah.
Terrible idea.
Well, then she's doing this like conjuring when Norman comes home, which I thought was weird. Why would you would want to do it like midday? I don't think she works. She waits until
nighttime.
He's about to come home. Her eye color changes.
Ooh, that's freaky.
Which is freaky. Her eyes go from blue to green. Then she goes downstairs and she doesn't call him Norman. She calls him Dr. Spencer and she's possessed. She's possessed.
She's 100% possessed. Okay, so hypothetical. If this happened to you and you were murdered, would you come back and possess the wife and like really fuck with him?
Absolutely.
Me too. Okay. Yes.
Why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't you?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
If you ever think that I'm murdered, I will cut some of my hair right now and leave it for you so that you can like conjure my spirit and like avenge me.
I already have some of your hair in a jar upstairs. It's fine.
Oh, weird. Okay.
I'm kidding. But yeah, no, I would totally do it. I would avenge you. I would be a vessel.
But then you would get charged with the murder.
That's fine.
And you'd be like, the devil made me do it. Like I was possessed.
Oh, yes.
I was possessed by the devil.
Yeah.
I would make sure that there was clear evidence.
Of what happened.
Then you could, like, murder and revenge, maybe. Or maybe set up where it was, like, defense.
Yeah. I would do that.
Yeah.
We're, like, putting out all of our ploys. All of our
all of our plans.
Well.
So she starts acting all fucking crazy. She's like, what?
Hayden's coming in.
All aggressive. I'll skip this part then since the boy is walking through. What?
I was just watching him. He's picking up stuff outside.
Okay. I'll say it quick then. She like rips his clothes off and then she sees herself come in from outside. So she's
like in a mirror.
Yes. So she is.
You're okay.
He's like tiptoes. Dogs bark. We drop things. I burp a lot. You're okay. So she's like pulls all the buttons off of his shirt. And then she looks over to a mirror that like faces the doorway. And it's raining.
So this scene is in the preview. And it's fucking terrifying.
Why is it in the preview? It like gives it away.
It's not the wife part, but it's her like looking off. And she's just like, Professor, I think she's about to suspect something. And he's like, what? Your wife or whatever. What
I think she's starting to suspect something. And he says, who? And she says, your wife. But it is his wife.
And then she like bends down and it's Madison. And he like shoves her off of him.
Yes.
Oh my God. It's so fucking scary.
But like she sees herself coming in the front door out of the rain. So it's like what exactly Madison saw.
Yes.
And then.
Oh, it's so scary.
All of a sudden, Claire remembers.
Everything that happened.
Everything that happened.
Because you compartmentalize things. Trauma and all that other stuff.
So what happened was Claire had come home early. She'd heard voices.
Mm-hmm.
She looked in the mirror and saw what was happening. And then she just hopped in her car and sped off.
Yeah. No explanation. She was just like, no.
She sped off and then she got into this car accident.
And there had been like suspicion, I think, between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was like it. So mm-hmm. in that like traumatic moment for Claire, she just got in her car and like zoomed away, got in an accident.
Yeah.
Which that comes up like the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then she busted him at that point because she like pitches her onto the floor and she remembers everything. And then that's what caused the accident. They get in this big argument. She goes to her friend's house. She goes to Jody's. Jody says that a few days before Claire got in the accident, she was in Adamant.
Yep.
And saw Norm talking to a blonde haired woman. And she started walking over thinking it was her. Yeah. And then realized it wasn't Claire.
Yeah.
Then a couple days later, the accident happens. Jody had talked to someone that she knew at the hospital. And the person at the hospital said that they didn't think the accident was an accident.
Yeah.
They thought she intentionally crashed your car. At that point, Norman calls. They don't answer the phone. She says that she has to ask him something tomorrow. When she gets home, Norman is laying in the bathtub and the hairdryer's in the bathtub.
Convenient.
Mm-hmm. He's in the shower. Mm-hmm. So she calls a medic. He says he's fine. The medic said he should come in. No big deal. They kind of like blow it off. Conveniently, he was faking that.
Fucking yes.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So who is the attention seeker?
Yeah. Who's the narcissist in this relationship?
Yeah. So she point blank asks him if he had anything to do with Madison's disappearance.
It doesn't come out later until he faked it.
Yeah, that like, comes out that later.
Comes out later.
She's like taking care of him, like, oh my God, you could have died. Yes. Kind of like brings them closer together for a minute. She asks him if he had anything to do with Madison's disappearance. Obviously, he denies it. She falls asleep. He starts looking through her like witch books. Then the next day, he's on the phone talking to somebody about ghosts, and he sees Claire walk down to the water. She has the hair wrapped in between her fingers.
Yes.
It's cold, it's fall.
Yeah.
She dives into the water, starts rummaging through the muck at the bottom, and sees a box.
Yeah.
The box has the same
like flower symbol.
Flower mm-hmm. that the necklace that she
yeah.
that Madison wears.
That's one of my dream vacations. Like Vermont or Maine in the fall.
That would be beautiful.
Mike and I have been trying
to do it. It's because you like sweaters so much.
I love sweater season. Fall is my favorite season. Sweaters with jeans and cute boots and like the loose fitting jackets. Walking with the leaves with my bullshit coffee drink. It's the best time. I'm a basic white woman and I'm fine with that. I love my pumpkin spice things.
Pumpkin spice is hit or miss.
Yeah.
Give me apple cinnamon any so, day over pumpkin spice.
Speaking of basic white girl, Starbucks does a really great apple cinnamon drink in the fall because, yes, they do the PSLs.
Yeah.
But they also have started doing an apple drink and it's wonderful. You can get it hot or cold.
I don't ever go to Starbucks.
That's okay. They make the exact same drinks for cheaper at other places.
I do like baby cakes.
Yeah.
Because they have a really nice Earl Grey latte.
Is it a London Fog? Is that what it is? Or is it just like...
But they call it... Because you can get a tea latte.
Do they call it a Marquette Fog?
Marquette Fog. Matson Fog. No. I mean, they could. Why not?
That would be cool.
But they have like their whole tea list and then you can get like a tea latte.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get like a green tea
yeah.
latte. So you're not ordering anything by like a specific name.
Okay. Green tea latte. It's a London Fog.
But no, an Earl Grey.
An Earl Grey. Yeah. No, but we've been trying to plan like a Maine, Massachusetts trip with our friends Andrew and Caitlin for like 3 years now. It's never gonna happen, but maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Because we want to hit up like Bangor and do like a Stephen King tour.
That would be cool.
And then go down to Salem in like September.
Mm-hmm.
Not in October because Matt I hear went it's to Salem very busy.
In October, and from the photos, it looks like he had a blast.
Oh my God. I would love to go there.
Anyway,
it's fall.
It's fall. She jumps into the water, sees the box, while Norm jumps in after her, drags her out of the water, takes the hair and burns it in the fire as like a like anti-possession, like get rid of this problem.
If it were that easy, there would be like no possession movies.
I know. He says that he believes her. He gets home. Claire's playing again, playing the cello again. He doesn't know how to make it up to her. They kind of talk. It seems like it's going in the right direction.
Right.
They go sailing. She said, they're like, oh, we should go antiquing. That comes up. She says, oh, I've heard of this. Jody told me about this place. Adamant. Should we go there? He says he doesn't know where it is. He says he's never heard of it.
He's a fucking liar.
So she knows he's fucking lying.
Yes.
Because Jody saw them there like,
oh, Norman.
That was like big giveaway.
Yeah.
Well, then she's in the bath. The towel falls. And when the towel falls, the key or her robe, the key falls.
So yeah.
Like she it gets her thinking about mm-hmm. that again. She goes to Adamant and sees the symbol that's on the key.
Like, yeah.
And like a. Like, as a business logo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then she goes up to the window, and there's all these, like, ornate boxes.
How pretty, though.
That have...
really cool.
Like, jewelry or, you know, like, little...
Yeah, just a fun little jewelry shop.
But she sees both the necklace symbol and the key symbol. I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. I wrote down the design looks like a vagina.
A little bit, yeah.
Who's Georgia O'Keeffe? Georgia, that does all of the floral artwork.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Georgia.
Georgia O'Keeffe.
I don't fucking know.
Whatever. But yeah, it reminded me of that.
It's, yeah. Well, I think it's supposed to be like...
Giorgio. God, I'm dumb. I'm so stupid.
Giorgio Armani. I think it's supposed
Armani.
It's supposed to be a calla lily.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm putting it together. Definitely makes sense now.
Got it.
I have a big problem with the next scene. So it is the middle of the night. They're sleeping in bed. She gets up and decides to fucking dive into the lake. Once again, what does she do all day? Why doesn't she just wait until the next day and wait for him to go to work?
Why? Because then, shit is creepier at night.
Yeah. So she goes and dives into the lake at night off of their dock, gets the box, brings it into the living
room. Brings it into the living room.
With a flashlight in the middle of the entryway. Like,
wait until he goes to work.
Yes.
And then do it. Do all of your Scooby-Doo shit while he's at work.
Yeah. Like, do not snoop.
Get your Velma, which is obviously Jody, and just go do Scooby-Doo shit when he's gone.
I don't know why. Like, she just couldn't sleep, and she's like, I'm going to get that box right now. Like, what?
Sure.
Just fucking fake it. Fake getting along. As soon as he walks out the door, put on your little snorkel mask, swim down, and get the stupid box. Bloop. Yeah.
Pipe in some tunes.
Anyway, she opens the box, finds Maddie's necklace.
Oh, my God. All of the things.
She grabs the phone to call 911. Which I found out in Vermont, a lot of places don't have 911. You just dial like two numbers.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's like such small towns that bigger cities, you call 911. Smaller towns, to get the local police, you dial like 7-8 or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. She goes to call 911. And of course, that's when Norm wakes up, standing in the doorway.
He
tells her that Maddie killed herself in the house.
I wrote down a series of events.
Yeah.
That he says. So this is Normie's story.
Yes.
Which is crack of bullshit. Madison wanted to continue the relationship. She showed up at the DuPont party, which is why Michelle Pfeiffer looked like she saw a ghost, because she knew about the affair or knew something
idea. Yeah. She didn't know for sure.
Madison showed up at the house and had taken a lot of pills and was going to kill herself. Norman tried to revive her. Didn't work. Madison had a letter to give to Claire. Norman burned the letter, threw the box in the lake, then put Madison in her car and drove it off the bridge, or not off the bridge, but in the
the
boat ramp.
Which, like, that doesn't work that way.
No.
Like, if you have people back their boats down the ramp and launch their boats, there can't be a fucking car right there.
You would have to drive it, like, way off.
It would have to be way in there. Like,
you
I
would
don't
have
know.
To, like, drop Maybe the vehicle got in and then tow it with the sailboat or with a boat.
That's not how sailboats work.
I know it's not how sailboats work.
You're not towing cars with them.
Just came out like that.
She says, well, her body needs to be brought up, buried, whatever. We're not fucking doing this. If it was an accident, it was an accident. He calls the police and then he gets in the shower. Claire's a little suspicious. So she hits redial and it's
411.
411. However, this was a movie flaw. A real person answers. So if he would have called 411 and said, this is what happened, this is my address, they would have called the police.
Yeah.
Sometimes in olden days, you would call 411 and they would ask your city, but it was like automated. So unless you said like Chicago or Detroit or Adrian, like none of that would come up.
Yeah.
You had to like prompt it first. Anyway, she starts to book it out of there and then is all of a sudden paralyzed.
Ugh.
Then there's a big villain confession.
It like chloroformed her with halothane. Like,
yes.
Held the, yeah.
So she starts to run down the stairs and collapses and then is crawling and her back.
This is the worst.
Her back legs don't work. Like
her back legs don't work.
Her legs don't work. She's trying to get through the house. Big villain confession.
Which I have huge problems with this, because if I were a villain, what if this person was going to get away?
I think it's more of a gloating that they're not going to get away.
Oh, that's true.
Here's my master plan, bitch.
You suck.
Now I'm drowning you in the bathtub.
Oh, God.
Like,
it's the
worst.
Think
that's what it is. Yeah. Like, oh, you thought you were going to fool me?
Well, I fooled you.
I fooled you.
Fuck
Here's
you.
All the shit I did. Fuck you.
Fuck me. Fuck
he then you. Calls Jody. Well, he throws her in the bathtub. As the bathtub is filling to drown her, he calls Jody and says, I'm going to go sleep at the lab. Check on her in the morning. I.e. find her dead body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's wearing the necklace. Yeah.
Tricky.
So he goes to, like, push her under the water, and he sees Maddie's, like, dead body instead.
The saddest part of this is when Cooper comes up and, like, rests his head on the bathtub.
That's the saddest part.
And then Norman. It's sad to me. It's not the saddest part.
Norman is going to die, and then Claire will have, like, her best boy with her forever.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, when he's confessing and stuff, Cooper comes up and, like, puts his head on the bathtub.
Yeah.
And Norman's just like, come on, boy, where's your ball? And I'm like, that poor dog.
That is very sad, like, for the dog.
Anyway.
So he goes to, like, hold her head underwater. Well, then he sees Maddie's dead body. He notices she's got the necklace on and then sees Maddie. Well, he falls back, breaks the mirror, hits his head on the sink, and, like, collapses.
Blood that part everywhere. Is gross. Because,
and it's really surprising.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, like, he was just going to, like,
walk
out.
He reaches down, sees the necklace, like, has Michelle Pfeiffer's head in his hands.
Yeah.
Goes to drop her down, and then it's Madison's rotten body.
Yes.
Cool. That's a lot.
Well, then there's this big dramatic part where she's going to drown in the tub, and she's paralyzed. And she's trying to pull the chain out of the stopper with her feet that can barely move. And her head's going underwater. And I'm like, this scene goes on for a really long time. And the overflow in that tub is like an inch from the actual edge of the tub, which is not how bathtubs work.
Yeah. And he notices, like, before he smacks his head, he notices that the halothane's wearing off. So he, like, goes to, like, get pills. And that's when he sees the necklace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well... So she, this also wouldn't work. So the detachable, like, shower head falls into the tub, and she somehow uses the shower head, like, hose.
Yeah, to turn it's, like, the water off.
Under the faucet knob, and she, like, moves it. And I don't think that could actually happen.
Do you want to try it out?
My faucets aren't like that at home.
Mine aren't like that either. Like, no. The turn knobs.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she, like, miraculously saves herself.
We, like, watch all of these movies, and we're like, none of this could really happen. And then, like, we test stuff out.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Lay in the tub.
Just lay in the tub and try pretend, to like, save you yourself. Can't move and try to save yourself.
But I would, like, move just enough to save myself.
That's true. Yeah.
So, anyway, she pulls the plug with her foot. Finally, it's this big ordeal. She gets out. There's all of a sudden, the phone doesn't work. There's, like, no dial tone. Yeah. So he's not there either.
Norman is in the living room laying down, conveniently with the phone, like, under him.
Tucked under him.
He's so fucking stupid. I hate this guy.
She gets keys. Well, I hate him too. She gets in the in the truck, and behind the truck is a boat, the sailboat that they had just pulled out of the water. So she's, like, escaping, right? Well, then she notices, like, bloody fabric, like, whipping off the back of the boat. All of a sudden,
it's Norman.
Norman is there, trying to kill her again. So they battle. She actually sees the ghost while they're on a bridge, and she, like, veers away. But somehow she manages to get off the bridge, but she's going down towards the boat ramp.
Yeah.
Crashes the boat into the water.
With the sailboat, like, beam. I don't know sailboats.
The mast.
It, like, crashes through the window.
Ooh. Crashes through the window.
Been wild.
Goes through the truck and into a sunken car. Yeah.
Wild.
Her car. Maddie's car.
Yeah.
So then they're sinking.
We call her Maddie. We're best friends.
It's this big, like, struggle. Madison. Big struggle. It sort of looks like Norm is going to kill them both.
Yeah. He's, like, holding Claire down there.
He's holding Claire in the water. The truck's filling up with water. It's very scary. It's sinking. lots of drama happening. Well, then, as all this is going on, Maddie's body is, like, floating up.
Like, dislodged from the car. Because
the top of the convertible is, like, ripped, the fabric, mm-hmm. so her body can, like, float out. Well, it floats up, and she grabs Norm and starts pulling him down.
Madison for the win.
Madison for the win. And then Claire, at that point, can, like, swim away and be free. What?
The end.
The end.
Well, yes.
Oh, and the headlights on the car stay on forever, and that doesn't happen. But it stays on long enough to see,
to like... To see things.
To see, like, Madison's, like, flowy blonde hair and, like,
and this
spooky.
Beautiful dress that she was wearing, too. Well, I think that's kind of, like, an illusion. And then she becomes, like, the rotten
She's rotten, and then she's beautiful. She kind of goes back and forth. I think at the very end, when she's, like, sinking back into the water, she's beautiful again.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then you see the last scene is Claire at Madison's grave putting a rose on it. And it's winter.
Yeah. The end.
That was a lot.
It was a lot.
It was a lot of feelings. It was just
a lot.
Yeah.
I liked it, though.
I did, too. And I remember
why. It's not very gory. It's very suspenseful.
No. And normally I don't like thriller type horror movies. Like The Woman in the Window.
Oh, that's so good.
Like, I like it, but I like possession movies better, or like ghost story. Like more,
this is a ghost story.
More in depth, like more creepy shit happening.
Oh. There wasn't a lot of creepy shit that happened in this until like the last 20 minutes.
But Norman is a fucking psycho.
Well, he's dead. So.
So it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
Poor Harrison Ford. No, fuck, not poor Harrison Ford.
Poor Harrison Ford, he's a brilliant actor. Yeah, poor him.
Poor Norman.
He played a very...
He plays a very good bad guy.
Yeah, he played a very... It's because he just looks like he wouldn't be a bad guy.
Yeah.
It's convincing. He's a very convincing actor.
That's true.
I was mad at him a lot in this, when he was like yelling at his wife. And I'm like, fuck
yeah,
you, dude.
Yeah, because I'm just like... Yeah, okay, she gave up all of the shit to be with you because she's a nice woman, and...
But she does, like, they're arguing, she throws it in his face, and I really hate doing that because, I gave up all this...
I did all this shit for you.
Like, fuck you, too. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
If you give it up for somebody, then that's it.
Yeah, you're done.
You picked a life path. You're not going to resent them. If you're going to resent them for it later,
what was the point?
What was the point?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's my relationship advice.
Welcome to therapy with Aaron and Chelsea. If you pick a life path, that's your path.
That's your path. Don't get pissed off later on about it.
Fuck you. Fuck me. Anyway. Yeah, that was What Lies Beneath. If you like what you hear, please follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /your movie review.
All right. I hope everybody has a good night and a good week, and you'll probably hear a bunch of garbage from us later.
For sure. Bye.
Bye.